Adam Ross's first novel, Mr. Peanut, begins with this provocative line. When David Pepin first dreamed of killing his wife, he didn't kill her himself. He dreamed convenient acts of God. It's a very dark tale of love, hate, murder, and marriage. It's clever. It's structurally complex, with characters whose lives interlock. Adam Ross joins us from Nashville. Crack the story's shell, he says. There's a nugget of a true story inside.
Back in 1995, my father told me a story about my cousin, which really haunted me for years. And that was my second cousin, who was morbidly obese, suffered terribly from depression, and also had lethal nut allergies, apparently committed suicide. And conveniently, the only person to witness her suicide was her husband, who reported that he came home. She was sitting at the kitchen table with a plate of peanuts before her. They got into an argument. And at the height of the argument, she had ingested a peanut and died of anaphylactic shock right in front of him.
So suicide by peanut eating.
Suicide by peanut eating. But when I heard the story, I was thunderstruck by it because it seemed to me like an obvious case of murder. And so I sat down and drafted what essentially were the first three chapters of the novel now. I mean, of course, with some changes. But what was utterly mysterious to me about that story is that it seemed to put its finger right on something that is so true about marriage, which is that at times it is harder to understand what keeps couples together as opposed to what drives them apart. It's a moment of terrible privacy. And I wanted to explore different moments of those kinds of privacy in the novel.
You frequently allude to M.C. Escher, who's the artist who has those mathematically themed black and white prints where in one you are drawn to a staircase that could be either leading up or down. You play with this idea about shifting between a thing and its opposite. Why is that a theme? What was so important about that?
Well, you know, I like to say Mr. Peanut is the story of three marriages that tell the story of one marriage, or one marriage that tells the story of three. It's about a guy, David Pepin, who may or may not have killed his wife, Alice, very much in the same way that I described from the autobiographical story. So as you learn about David's marriage, you also learn about the marriages of the two detectives who are investigating him, Ward Hastrell and Sam Shepard. Well, what you find as you read the novel is that the marriages share certain similarities. They share certain moments of redemption, certain moments of, you know, crazy Mexican standoffs. And so they interlock, like many of M.C. Escher's designs. But more importantly, they point to, I think, how there can be sudden shifts in marriage where you can go from just love and contentment with somebody to its opposite almost immediately. In the same way you can look at an Escher and you're looking at a staircase going up that suddenly becomes a staircase going down with somebody sitting on the ceiling.
I want to get you to read a passage. And here, a hitman is reflecting on the husbands who have hired him to kill their wives. And it begins with, "You know, Dr. Sam."
Sure. "You know, Dr. Sam," Mobius said, "there's this funny thing that happens to some men before I kill their wives. Kind of a buyer's remorse. I guess because occasionally after the money's changed hands, and I've got my Mark's brake set to fail, her patio rigged to collapse, or the furnace ready to blow CO2, every so often the husband will phone me in a panic the night before to call the whole thing off. He'll be apologetic, a little embarrassed. He claims he doesn't care about the lost deposit, just abort, he says. And I'll agree, it's a substantial sum of money. But when I ask why he doesn't want to go through with it, he says the same thing every time. Things, he says, are getting better. Things, he says, have improved. There's real optimism in his voice, practically newlywed glee. Sometimes he'll even say, 'Thank you, Mr. Mobius. If it weren't for you, I don't think my wife and I would have gotten to this point in our relationship. We're happier now than ever. I owe you more than you know.' We hang up, and I smile a little smile to myself, because a week or two later, the same guy calls back and says the same thing." What's that? "Kill the bitch."
I come away not sure what to think, to be quite honest with you. It's a very confounding book.
Well, when you say confounding, tell me what you mean exactly.
That it's hard to move away from the theme of men killing their wives. I see your point that there are moments of great love between all of these characters. But the violence is always there. And it makes me think that this is some way, some revelation about men that maybe I didn't understand.
Gosh. You know, I think that when I set out to write this book, I wanted to go back to that moment that I described with my cousin and really ask this question: how is it that people who start out so happily get to this very dark place where things can go so awry? And really, it's funny, I would actually argue that the novel is about as pro-marriage a book as I could ever imagine writing, because it's a cautionary tale. You need to do good housekeeping. You have to be present to each other. And in the moment when it comes to all the ins and outs of living together that confront you, because you'll go through periods in marriage's cycling where you'll lose sight of each other. And if you lose sight of each other for too long, then you can be lost to that person and they can be lost to you before you're even aware of it. And that's a very tragic thing. And so, you know, in a way, Mr. Peanut for me is an attempt to wake up readers to what's right in front of them.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Adam Ross's first novel is Mr. Peanut. Ross tells us he's been married for a long time, and happily so. To hear more of our conversation and another reading, go to npr.org.
You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And here on the radio, you can follow NPR's Deb Amos. Deb, I believe you're on your way back over to the Middle East in the coming weeks.
Yes,
we'll
it's
be
been
listening.
Great 2 weeks.
All right. Glad you could come in, fill in for Renee. Why don't you do the show close one more time?
This is NPR News. I'm Deborah Amos.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.